Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of the steps to take when going through sin's consequences, we were taught that if there is one thing we should learn from this study, it is to never say no to God. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And last time we covered verses 7 through 12, where God tells them to stay in the land, and he will make their fields they plant abundant. He will establish their homes, and he will not allow the king of Babylon to do a bad thing at all to them. They must simply trust God. Trust God that he will keep his promise. And then just go into the land and set up shop, as we say. But if you don't believe what I say, then you better watch out. Now, my friend, there's something that we need to learn here. Never, never say no to God. In Psalms 14:1, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Now, when he says, "the fool has said there is no God," "there is" actually in italicized, so that it's in the Hebrew. It's not actually there in the Hebrew. But I believe that both meanings are meant for us here. "There is no God" speaks to the atheist, and he's a fool. But it's just as much a fool that when God tells you to do something, when God shows you the way, that you simply say, "No, God, I'm not going to do it." Well, my friend, God calls you a fool. Now, verse 13 is saying, "I'm not going to stay here. It's too hard being a fundamental Christian. We're not going to dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord God," is what they're saying there. Well, friend, that's what a fundamentalist is. He obeys God by being obedient to the Word of God. When people want to go with the way the world is doing it, they are not obeying the voice of the Lord God. Nor will they stay in the house that preaches his word, as it is, to men as they are. You see, the world today likes the world's definition of love much better than God's, because the world's definition of love has a lot of emotion, has a lot of sentiment, but it lacks commitment, as the divorce rate shows. And it lacks real, deep-down substance. It lacks purity. It lacks holiness. Now, so often, we who love as we ought to love, because we're loving according to the Word of God, and we're obeying the Word of God, we are called legalists. And we are called legalists for following the Word of God. So if we're legalists for following the Word of God, then they must be legalists for following the laws of the flesh. Now, what you have to decide, what kind of legalist you're going to be. Are you going to be a legalist that follows the laws of the flesh? Or are you going to be a legalist that follows the Word of God? You decide. But God holds you accountable. But if you are to say no to God's desire here, this is what he's telling people. If you're going to say no, you're not going to stay in the land. You're going to go on to Egypt. You see, God's giving a choice. He doesn't force them. He tells them what's going to happen. It's just like salvation. God doesn't force anybody to get saved. But he does tell them there's a heaven and there's a hell. They're already on the way to hell, and they can be on their way to heaven. But he doesn't force them to repent and believe the gospel. But he does let us know that there is a consequence to any no that we say to God. Now, my friend, if you're going to say no to God, that's foolish, and there's a consequence with it. They will go to the land of Egypt. That is where their fathers were in slavery. That's where their father's cry came up to God for their misery. Have you ever seen a man who was delivered from maybe tobacco, alcohol, or some other type of a drug? And for a few years, they are clean and doing well. And then somehow or another, they start back. And you see them, you say, well, how did you get started back? And they might say something like this. Well, you know, there was one there. I just smoked that cigarette. I just took a sip of that drink. I just hit on that drug, and I was hooked all over again. Now, I thought it was free, and I was hooked all over again. And I took another, and then took another, and before too long, I'm back in the habit of doing these things again. Someone gets saved and says, I'm going to keep the cocaine just to prove that I have victory over it. Is that wise or foolish? Well, what if he does it in Jesus' name? I mean, if he takes a little bit of it, if he says, now, God, please bless this cocaine and help my body to feel good from it. Does that make it good, or is it still foolish? Perhaps there's that man that says, hey, God saved me, but I'm going to keep this six-pack of beer in the refrigerator just to show my victory over it. Is that foolish? What if he only takes a social drink, but he says, you know what, I'm going to pray and ask Jesus to bless my beer drinking. I'm just going to ask God to bless it and to help it. Is that foolish? It is foolish to go back to the music, the dress, the speech that enslaved you to the flesh before your salvation. Don't dress it up and add Jesus' name to it and say you're doing it in Jesus' name to win the world to Jesus. That Jesus that you're trying to win to the world is a hip Jesus. It's another Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible, who is holy and altogether righteous. Now, my friend, no commitment is a real commitment if you don't burn the bridge behind you. I think of the story that's been told. Now, you've probably heard it. Many preachers have told the same story. The dude that's at the ranch, and it's going to be the first time he gets to ride a horse, and he's just a little bit afraid of a horse. First time around one up that close. And the horse is standing there by the fence, and he climbs the fence. He throws one leg over the horse, but he still has one leg over the fence. Now, he's on both, but he's not committed to either. Well, once the horse starts to take off, it spreads. All of a sudden, he looks like a wishbone. And when the horse gets so far from the fence, he falls straight to the ground because he tried to keep one foot on the horse and one foot on the fence. Now, my friend, you've got to commit one way or the other. And when you don't commit to the Lord, he just says that you're committed then to the other side, whether you realize it or not. Now, God is saying, don't run from this thing that you fear. Well, what is it they fear? They fear Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, the mighty army. Now, let me give you an idea, though, what that would be like. That'd be like the United States declaring war on the country of Haiti and us pulling the full force of all of our Air Force, Marines, Navy, and Army and literally throwing in hundreds of thousands of troops with the top weapons available. Now, don't you have a thought that just maybe we will win that war if we're committed to it? Of course we would. Well, my friend, that's the thing here. Lord saying, oh yes, Nebuchadnezzar is that great an army as compared to you. But I am so much greater than Nebuchadnezzar. My greatness above Nebuchadnezzar's is much greater than his greatness above you. I'll hold him in check. Now, this is the God who's speaking. Do you realize about the only thing we ever see God telling people to flee is fornication? Now, notice the reasoning they give, but compare it to the promise of God. Theirs is the kind of thinking that a backslider in heart would do. They said, we will see no war, in verse 14 of our text here in Jeremiah 42. Well, later we find many will die tragic deaths as Nebuchadnezzar, the one they feared, comes to Egypt. And you even see a little bit of that in Jeremiah 46. And yet God had promised them back in verse 11, be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. What's God saying there? Well, if you stay in the land, if Nebuchadnezzar comes to you, I'm going to deliver you from his hand. He doesn't have a chance. He may come, but he won't be able to do a thing. That's God's promise. He says, back again in verse 14, they're saying, nor will we hear the sound of the trumpet. Well, the sound of the trumpet, what they meant by that is they remembered the armies of Nebuchadnezzar approaching. And that trumpet was blowing. They knew that that was like the army and our military playing charge on the trumpet. Well, they won't hear the sound of the trumpet if they go to Egypt, is what they're saying. And then they continue to say in verse 14, nor will we have a hunger of bread. Well, we find out in chapter 46 and verse 19, it tells us where they end up. It's waste and desolate. Now, it's interesting, when we have plans that allow us no time to do anything else, and we tell people, no, I can't do this, can't do that, because I just don't have time, my schedule's too full, we just can't do it. Maybe the church is saying, you know, we need you to come for this. We need you to help in this. You say, no, my schedule's just too full, I can't do it. But then a hurricane, in Florida we have hurricanes, a hurricane comes. Then all of those unchangeable plans, well, they're changed. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.